I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 12 and selected verses, and I'll begin with verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior members, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Our message today is about discovering our gifts so that we might serve. And the Bible teaches here in 1 Corinthians 12 that every one of us has gifts and talents. And we are challenged by the writer to use these gifts and talents. You know, we all have gifts that we're using, but some we're not putting into action. This hit home to me a few weeks ago, and I was having lunch with a family, and we were talking about things we had done over the years in ministry, and I was talking about how I did some gospel magic and children's talks and at camps. And this individual said to me, "Why haven't you done it in our church? That's terrible. You've done all this magic and you never done it before." I says, okay, I'm sorry, I'll go look at my stuff." So I went to my trunk of magic paraphernalia, and I started to dig things out. Some of it was in disarray, some of it was broken, some of it needed a little bit of paint. And I pulled out some things. One of the things I had, and I used this last week, was this little church with the children. And if some of you were here Christmas Eve, I just about burned the church down, but no. I don't profess to be a great magician, but we have fun. But it struck home to me that all of us have stuff that's tucked away and that we're just not using that could be a blessing to somebody else. I want to ask you this morning, what gifts and talents do you have that you're really not using for God's kingdom? It may not seem like a big deal to you, but consider this, that if you don't use your gift or talent, you could be withholding a blessing from somebody else. So we need to remind ourselves that life is not just about our own agenda. Life is about serving others. That's what we've been called to. This scripture in Galatians says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." I think all of us know the importance of giving ourselves to help others. And I think we should seek to find time to do that. You know, since 1965, I read a statistic that we work 8 hours less on average. Some people may not feel that. And we have 7 more hours of leisure time than what we had in 1965. But you know, somehow we have become consumed with our homes, our cars, our possessions, our recreational activities, our social calendar, and it seems so difficult to put something in our time schedule to serve others, use our gifts and talents. We've got to remind ourselves, friends, that life is not just about taking, but it's about giving. And we've been given so much. I read another statistic that 17% of the world uses 80% of the world's resources. And America is a big part of that 17%. So we've got to consider what we have has been meant to be shared. So number two, God gives us gifts and talents to build others up. Again, reading the scripture, Ephesians 4:16, as each part is working properly, it promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. Let me ask you again, do you believe there's people in this world that would benefit from your use of your gifts and talents that God has given you? I know sometimes we don't feel very talented. And I know sometimes as a pastor, I think, man, I messed this up or I messed that up. But the Bible tells us that we're to use them and that God has given us gifts. There is not one human being upon the earth that does not have something to offer others. The other challenge we have is most of us are not aware of the spiritual gifts. We don't know what the gifts and talents the Bible talks about. Let's just take a look at 1 Corinthians 12:28 and see what it says there. And God has appointed first in the church apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Now, I know that sometimes people read this list and they think, oh my goodness, I don't have any of those. That's beyond my skill set. That seems so super spiritual. But there are more gifts listed in the Bible. Romans 12 gives some. If service in serving, or he who teaches in teaching, or he who exhorts in exhorting, he who gives in liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So there are gifts of helping. There's gifts and talents of showing mercy. There's gifts of giving and leading in a variety of ways. And then when we go back to the Old Testament, it gets even more interesting because we see in Exodus that God gives these persons gifts of working in stone, of working in metal, and in wood to make the temple beautiful. So God uses a craft to become a spiritual gift, to glorify God. And so if you care for this church, our trustees, those who fix things, those who make things beautiful, those who've made things, this becomes a spiritual gift used for God. And so God can, in a sense, take everything we do and use it for a purpose of blessing others. And it doesn't matter what it is. It can be accounting. It can be writing, welcoming others to come today, doing good, planning, whatever. Serving food. That's an important one, isn't it? You all like to eat, don't we? And I think about Pam Wilson and the ministry that she has of serving food. Her wonderful food has helped our Wednesday night program to just grow and to thrive. Even if your greatest gift is being an athlete, God can use that for his kingdom. Now, I'm not going to tell you who I'm rooting for this morning in the Super Bowl, okay? But I'm going to tell you something that impacted me. I think the Minnesota Vikings were supposed to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that was the call, but the Eagles won. But what really impressed me is that Nick Foles, the quarterback, said as he was being interviewed, I just want to give glory to God. Did you all hear that? Because we were able to get to this place. And what he was saying was that as a second string quarterback, he was just amazed that he was able to be out there and to bring that team to the place where they could win. And so God used an athletic ability in that Nick Foles to be able to share something with others about the Lord. Well, I don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl, but I asked Alexa. Does anybody know who Alexa is? Amazon? And she said, but she says she's picking the Eagles, so I don't know what's going to happen. But we are all shaped by God, Rick Warren says, for a purpose. And God gave us gifts which are meant to be shared in order to impact others' lives. We're not to keep them just for ourselves. Think of it this way. Suppose you thought, I need to use my gift of singing. And so you came into the sanctuary and you stood right here and you just sang for 10, 15 minutes. And nobody else was here, just you. And somebody walked into the sanctuary and said, oh, I see you're getting ready for a program or for the service on Sunday. And you said, no, I'm just enjoying my gift of singing. That person would say, all righty then. But up here, they'd be thinking, that's really weird. Now, I'm not against singing in the shower. Not against walking through the hallway singing. But singing is a gift that's meant to be shared, to bless other people. And then the singer receives a blessing back. And the same is true with all the gifts. Now, I know that sometimes we wish we had more gifts than we did. You might wish that you could sing in the praise band. Or you might wish you could teach the Bible in the chapel. Maybe you wish you had a better gift of organization. Maybe you see people at work whose talents outshine yours. But you have gifts that are unique. They are God-given. And we must focus on the gifts that we do have and make them stronger. The Bible says we're not to be envious of others, for God has given gifts for the best that are best for us. Listen to this scripture. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. No matter what your talent, you are important. Even if you just get up early and you go over there and you flip the buttons on the coffee machine. You know, if coffee's not ready, people get kind of mean, you know. So many things you can do to serve God. One life group is taking on as their ministry the serving food to the friendship lunch. Another life group is going to the New Hope Village to work on buildings. It is likely, again, that there's many of you here that are not using all your gifts. And we have this attitude, oh, poor little me, I'm just not so good at that. But you'd be amazed at what you could do if you started using it. Some of you have music gifts and they are stuffed away. I know for a fact that there's someone here this morning that was trained in music and can do a variety of things. And the gifts are just sort of tucked away. I believe if we used all the music gifts in this church that we could probably double our music ministry. Again, if we don't use our gifts, we keep others for a blessing. So the third point I want to share with you is take time to reassess what your gifts are. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts. You know, we see people sometimes up front with music gifts, teaching and preaching, and we say, boy, they don't need me, but we do. And not everyone can stand up and preach and Sunday or lead a Bible study, but there are other ways you can teach. You teach your children. You instruct your grandchildren. You can share points of wisdom with people throughout the day. You might be in a Bible study, and an issue might come up, and you might have an insight to help others. That's teaching. Matthew 28 says that all of us are called to use our gift and to teach others and to make disciples for Jesus Christ. We have 13 life group leaders. But you know, a church our size could have as many as 100 groups. And don't rule out the fact that God might be calling someone here to be a preacher, to be a pastor, to be in mission or ministry. I know three of our college students right now that grew up in the youth group here that have felt a call to mission and ministry. Here's the bottom line. There will be people in the church who will not become all that Christ wants them to be if you do not heed to your calling and use your gifts. There will be people who will hurt deeply and will not be comforted. There will be persons who will not find their purpose in life if you don't share your gift of wisdom. There will be ministries that will fall apart if you do not participate. If you don't know where to turn and you feel you have a gift and you want to do something, talk to me, talk to Noel, talk to our staff, talk to Heidi, and we'll help you discover it. We need to move our gifts out of storage into action. And you know what? You don't have to start out being the leader. Start out working with someone. The Bible talks about the gift of helping. Every great leader in the Bible had someone helping them and supporting them. Paul had Timothy. Jesus had the 12. Moses had Joshua. Behind every great organization, whether it's a church or a corporation or a company or a school or a sports team, there are people who help, who organize, who assist and make great things happen. When you start out helping, God can move you into leadership. I'm wearing the robe this morning that was given to me by Dr. William K. Quick. And I worked with him for 7 years at Metropolitan United Methodist Church. And I just learned a ton from him. And I don't think I would have been able to accomplish the ministry over these last 15, 20 years without that blessing of learning from someone else. Well, the gifts in the body of Christ must be functioning. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, "For this reason I remind you to rekindle the gifts of God that are within you through the laying on of my hands." Every one of you is a functioning member of the body. You know, we all know what it's like to have a part of the body not working. Did you ever have your feet fall asleep and then you get up and you like stumble and fall down? Or maybe you've had surgery and you just weren't able to do a lot of stuff. I've been running into a lot of people who've had shoulder surgery lately, rotator cuff, and oh my goodness, what limitation. I don't know about you, but if I don't have my contacts or my glasses, I'm in trouble. And so the point is, if the parts of the body aren't working, there's stuff that the rest of the body just can't do. Paul told Timothy to rekindle his gifts, to stir them up. We need to stir one another up to use our gifts. We just cannot, friends, be effective as a church unless we do that. And all of us need to be active. And all of us need to be out in ministries through the week and out each Sunday morning and part of worship. And it takes a lot of people to make worship happen, friends. We need ushers. We need greeters. We need tech people. We need sound and camera, music persons to make it meaningful. Again, the bottom line is we'll not achieve what God has called us to do without all of us using our gifts and talents. It may be you have the gift of praying, the gift of sharing the faith. Without your prayers, somebody else is going to miss a blessing. Without sharing your faith, folks cannot see who Jesus is. And we're not just to wait for the gifts, we're to seek them. So if there's a gift that you desire, start hanging out around other people that had those gifts. The disciples hung out around Jesus and they received from him the gifts to minister. It's called apprenticeship. Alden Dow became a great architect because he studied under Frank Lloyd Wright. And then he passed some of that on to others, and we're the recipients of this beautiful building. In the same way, God wants us to pursue gifts that impact lives. Now, you may be listening to me this morning and saying, well, Pastor, that is all good. And we ought to follow that challenge. And you might just get up, though, this morning and walk out and think, that was a good challenge, but you might just go back to what you were doing before and not make any changes. Let me challenge you with this. I believe that when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to ask us some questions. He's going to ask us some other things, but I think he's going to ask us these three things. Number one, what did you do with the gifts I gave you? Jesus told the story about the man that buried his talent and didn't do anything with it, and he wasn't too happy with that. And if he has given you and me something that we ought to be sharing, we ought not to be burying it. We ought to be using it. Number two, I think Jesus is going to ask us, how did you alleviate suffering in the world? How do I know this? Because in Matthew 25, Jesus said, in the separation of the sheep and the goats, those that fed and clothed and cared for others are going to be the sheep, and those that didn't are going to be the goats. And Jesus said, when you did it, these good things, you did it to me. And if you don't, you're not doing it to me. And so we need to be doing just that, caring for human suffering. And lastly, I believe Jesus is going to ask us, who did you tell about me? He sent his disciples in the world. When they came back, he said, what happened? Tell me what happened. He sends you and I into the world, and he's asking us, what's happening? But let's not just wait till heaven. Jesus Christ is asking you right now, what are you doing with the gifts I gave you? How are you alleviating human suffering? And who are you telling about me? This is our purpose. This is our calling. And friends, we must be faithful to it. Reverend Len said last week something to the effect that if you like your church, you love your church, invite somebody else. Invite somebody. If you enjoy the worship, if you're blessed, don't just keep that blessing to yourself. Invite others to be part of this ministry. And so, friends, you have been given gifts. I got to tell you, I don't think I've been part of a congregation that has more gifts and talents than this one. And that is a praise to you. And many of you are using your gifts and talents, and it is absolutely wonderful. But I believe there are many, many more that need to be unleashed. And as we do, you are going to be fulfilled, and God is going to touch others through you in such incredible ways. We share what we've been given because Jesus Christ gave his all.